Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey everyone, it's Ron Thomas and I'm with Chris Gordon on Hellblazer Biz.
Everyone, I have the honor and the privilege and the company of Sensei Ron Thomas, who's currently, you can see on our screens, in Cobra Kai, but who's also a motivational, inspirational speaker and also published author of many self-help and life coach. So good evening, Ron, or good afternoon for you, I believe.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Over the pond.
Over the pond, yeah. I'm... Must midday for you where you are, and for me it's the sun has set and the night is closing in.
Wow, cool!
It is. It's great with technology like this, so we can just sit and chat, which is
right.
6,000-7,000 miles apart. Brilliant.
Yeah. life has changed.
It has a great deal. Yeah, not that I would have been able to fly to LA to interview you in person, to be fair.
Right. Save a little money.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, pretty safe. Thank you for joining. I really do appreciate that. You know, taking some time out of your day just to talk to me. It's very appreciated.
Sure. Yeah. You know. Well, there's a lot of Cobra Kai, Karate Kid fans over there in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I get hit up all the time on social media, and you know, people find my website and they send me emails and a lot. You know, I recently put up. An option on my website where fans can purchase photos and signed photos from me and videos too. And I got to tell you, there's a lot coming in from the UK. A lot of international mail out lately. So, you know,
brilliant.
You're our friends over there and we appreciate it.
That's great. Thank you. Now, as I say, it's not just the UK. It goes, you on the Cobra Kai was number one. Worldwide, yeah. Phenomenal.
Number one worldwide, kind of conquered the world. So
it
did. You're right. I'm sending photos and messages out to Australia and Austria and New Zealand and just everywhere. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of surreal. You know, all these years later, after shooting The Karate Kid, and that I'm sitting here doing this with you, talking about the number one show in the world, Cobra Kai, something we started all those decades ago. So
yeah, I mean, did you ever think that you'd be reprising the role of Bobby at all back?
Well, no, because you know, back then we didn't even have the internet.
True. Yeah,
that's how, you know, I don't want to date myself or age myself, but that's how long it's been. We didn't have cell phones, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have access to do post something immediately and have it go global like Instagram or Facebook or, you know. So for us to even think that streaming video and Amazon Prime and Netflix and YouTube and all of these, you know, these different outlets for streaming videos would be such a big deal. But here we are. So no, I had no clue that we would be doing this.
True. I mean, I was 10 years old when Karate Kid came out, so I'm fully with you. I know exactly what you mean. It's like, you know, there's just, you know, it was the future. It was, you know, some stuff you saw in Star Trek where they could stream, you know, the streaming services that we get now. It was all future based. So yeah, it's good to see that we've actually come so far in technology and entertainment.
I mean, right.
14 channels at that age, and that was it.
Yeah, and it says something about the Karate Kid franchise and the meaning that the film has had for not just the original viewers and audience, but for generations. It's a generational impact that movie has had on people. And I always tell people, you know, that it's weird to say that a movie has changed lives, but I cannot tell you how many messages I've gotten that movie has changed lives, that Bobby Brown had changed lives simply because he was the good guy out of the bad guys. But also because, you know, so many people started training in the martial arts when they saw that movie. And now so many people are starting to train in the martial arts because of Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And it just continues through the ages to help people, to motivate people, to inspire people, and to change lives. And it's really cool to be a part of it.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I even teach, I've got a 13-year-old son, and I still teach him the wax on and the wax off and the brushing. And I said, it's not for the karate side, but it's just to, for the mind, focusing your mind on it. You know, I can, we play around with it. He's seen it and stuff. So I was like, you know, you're going to do that. And obviously, you know, then when things happen, that's the reason. And we watched the film. So I said, now you know what I'm trying to say. We know you can do it nice and slow like that. When it comes to the crunch, that's how he learned it. And, it, you know, it's something you can become Mr. Miyagi. Yeah, or damn right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's got a lot of powerful messages for people, and mm-hmm. you know, the martial arts, set Karate Kid and Cobra Kai aside, you find a good martial arts instructor with the foundations of self-esteem and self-respect and honor and discipline and focus and confidence and all of those things that are built in to martial arts training, it really does change lives. It's not hyperbole. It's not, you know, it's the truth. So
it is.
I know, because I'm on both sides, right? I'm a martial artist and an actor and part of the franchise. So
exactly. I was going to say that as well, because you're not just an actor in the show. You are actually a world champion martial artist.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, it does. I mean, martial arts, it's not just, like you say, it's not just fighting. It's about learning. It's the discipline. It's like a spirituality, because you can find yourself, you can find peace within the kata or whatever. I can't remember. Apologies for, you know, for the way, you know, you just put focus your mind, and you can just find that inner peace and inner, it's just that inner spirituality of yourself,
inner strength to overcome challenges, and you know, and to help others, you know, to teach others and to help them do the same thing. So the martial arts, you know, it should be a mandatory thing for all kids.
Oh yeah,
training in the martial arts, you know, for so many reasons. Bully prevention, and you know, confidence and self-esteem and respect of other people and yourself, you know. So yeah, it should be one of those things. Mandatory for my daughter.
Yeah,
there's two things. It's not going to happen to her. She's not going to get bullied, and she's not going to drown. So you know, she's learning how to swim, and
excellent.
She's definitely going to learn how to protect herself, and beyond that, she can do whatever she wants, you know? But those two things are mandatory.
Oh yeah, no, fully agree. I mean, I did Tang Soo Do when I was younger, when I was very young in school. That's how, you know, to sort of try and train the same sort of thing to give me the discipline and that, and to stop the bullying. And I did that with my son as well. And it turned out, I was so happy with him last year, because he said there's one lad he's been picked on, you know, these guys picking on him at school. And he said he just came up. And my son, he just came up from behind, grabbed his hand, put his hand on my son's shoulder. And my son just grabbed his hand and just like basically did a forward roll and threw the kid over his shoulder. And it was like, you know, he's a nasty lad, by the way. He was going to beat my son up. So my son just did that and threw him right over his shoulder. And that was it then. Now they're friends, because the guy was just like, he was just like, he just no longer bullied him anymore. He goes, he stuck up for him, and he did look out for him, because he ended up, the bully was ended up being scared because my son was able to stick up for himself.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's a proud moment for me. I was like, get it. He got told off, but I was like, get it for the school. And I was like, no, get in there for looking after yourself.
That's great.
Excellent. That's awesome. So, I mean, coming back to the set of Cobra Kai, and after 30, 35 years, so like that, what was it like being back on the set again with, you know, with the likes of Ralph and Billy? Because, I mean, you know, you guys have, you've stayed with it, and, you know, all this time, and then just to work again together.
Yeah, we've been friends this whole time. You know, I mean, and I'm saying, you know, good friends. We've seen each other and hung out and spent Christmas parties together and weddings and funerals and you know, gone on trips together. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've all been great friends. But to be back as a group, you know, revising our roles, was surreal. You know, it was a magical week during, you know, I'm talking about season two. The big surprise to all the Karate Kid fans out there. What can I say? It was magical. It was surreal. It was energizing. It was awesome. It was all of those things. And so much fun, because we always have fun when we're together as a group. And I think when we're doing what we love to do, which is acting and getting in front of camera and doing what we do, it makes it even more special. So it was, a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. It was as a fan of the original Karate Kid as well, to see you guys all together, and Rob as well, obviously, very, tragic. May his soul rest in peace for that. That was heartbreaking, obviously, for a fan, but I can imagine and know how much it affected you guys. But seeing you guys together on screen all again, at least you had that moment.
Yeah, it was, there's so many surreal incidents and dates and times and synchronicities involving the Karate Kid and Cobra Kai and the cast. And that whole week was one of them. And then Rob, of course, passed away almost a year later. That was a great send off for Rob, because he truly loved acting, and he truly loved playing Tommy. And so I'm at least glad that he had that moment toward the end of his life to kind of put an exclamation point on his career and his life. And that we all had that moment together to share one more time. So, it's sad and surreal at the same time. And one of the surreal moments in terms of dates was Halloween.
Okay.
October 31st, coming up here. That is the day that we started principal photography of The Karate Kid.
Okay.
Halloween, October 31st.
Yeah.
That's the day we turned the cameras on, and John Apple said action for the very first time and meant it, because we'd done rehearsals prior to that. And all those years later, October 31st, that day is also the same day we showed up on the Cobra Kai set and started filming.
The stars aligned, yeah.
Now that's synchronicity. It's one of those weird events that I referred to.
That is, you're right. That's nice. It's like you say, everything just seemed to align. Excellent.
I don't know.
There's
greater forces around us. Lining things up. I always said that, people ask me, why was the Karate Kid so successful? I said, because the stars lined up. And I don't mean the Hollywood stars necessarily. Mm-hmm. I just mean that just everything is sort of lined up to, perfectly. All the pieces of the puzzle just fit together to make that masterpiece. So.
Anyway. Excellent. I fully agree. Helen Irvin actually mentioned, because you are a motivational speaker as well, did that inspire the writers of Cobra Kai to develop your character, Bobby, to be a pastor? Or was that already decided before then?
No, I don't think so. The producers called me, John Hurwitz and Josh Hill and Hayden, and we had a phone call prior, and they said, this is what we're going to do. And I had no idea. They had the idea all along. They knew they were bringing the original cast back, the Cobras back. They've been a fan of Karate Kid the whole time. So they're living their dream. They grew up as fans like you did, of Karate Kid, but also wanting to be filmmakers and moving to Hollywood together and starting their production company, and then have this great idea. And it's a big risk for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone the other way.
Definitely.
And they did not, they told me directly, they did not want to be the people to mess up the Karate Kid franchise.
Yeah.
So they were taking it, they took it very seriously. And everything is lined out just, in terms of timing. Mm-hmm. You would think that the original Cobras would have showed up in season one, like episode 3 or something, right? No, they have it planned out and lined up. They called me and they said, this is what we have planned for Bobby. We've taken each one of you, and knowing that you went through these traumatic experiences as a teenager with Kreese, bullying, and Bobby in particular, always trying to steer people in the right direction, always trying to know where the line, always knowing where the line was, leave him alone, man, he's had enough. And standing up to his best friend, Johnny, or standing up to Kreese even, in the parking lot, and when, he's choking Johnny. So Bobby always knew where the line was drawn, and he's kind of conflicted character. You know, he wants to be a Cobra Kai. He wants to, you know, participate in that whole thing with his friends, but also he wants to steer the people in the right direction. So they had all of that in consideration, and I don't think that my motivational speaking, I think that's just another one of those synchronistic sort of things. Like Bobby is very aligned with me, right? Mm-hmm. Wants to help people, but he's a fighter too. And, you know, he's not he wants to go, you know, he'll go in the bar and he'll mix it up with his friends. And, you know, he knows where the line was drawn there too. So that's why he jumped in he's, even though he's a pastor and drinking beer. I love it. He's a pastor, drinking beer with his buddies, and he'll jump in and mix it up to protect his friends and to stand up for what's right. So that's Bobby, you know, and I think that what they told me was each of us had found their own ways to heal from their experiences with Creed and you know, going through all of that. And Bobby's way was he found religion. He became a pastor, you know, so.
No, it's a nice sort of, it was a nice storyline to see that's how, because obviously Bobby was the one, like you say, he knew the line, right. He was always caring, he was reaching out. So to see him expand on that is a great thing indeed, to obviously know that that's where his character went. And I think that's one of the great things about Cobra Kai is the fact, I love the fact that it just flipped the character, the main, like, you know, you've got your Johnny and your Danny, and both of those just kind of flipped around, because the whole first season, I was saying to my wife, I said, he's a bit of an ass, isn't he? I'm Team Johnny here. Go, because you could see the whole role reversal, and it's just so played out. The big three, as they call them. Oh, that's what they call them.
Planned. Yeah, these guys are smart. Josh Heel and Hayden and John Hurwitz. These guys are they're very good. They're very talented and very smart. And they got a very smart team around them and a team of writers. So,
Definitely. I love what he's sorry, carry on. Go on.
No, I was just saying, obviously, look at the success of the show. I mean, you can't be dumb. The number one in the world. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a few days, wasn't it? In fact, it less than a few days. And it was like 2 or 3 days. And that was it. It was like number one everywhere. It was like, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, again, that's the brilliance of, doing something like this, has a baked in audience to begin with.
Yeah.
Worldwide. So, it's cool.
Excellent.
And of course, you know, my friends, William Zapka and Ralph and Marty Cove and they're great actors. They're very, very talented.
Definitely.
You know, and then you throw in this group of new young actors who are also very good. And people behind, I mean, the whole, it's again, once again, the stars aligned. You got a power team behind the camera and in front of the camera. So, you know, here we are talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. I laughed actually when you said about the pastor drinking beer, because my dad was a minister for the United Reformed Church. And one thing I'll never, ever forget, I mean, he rest his soul, he's back, I think 2009 he passed away. But when I went to university, my friends came for a lift. He gave us a lift to a nearby town in the car. It was obviously he'd come to visit. And my friends, staunch Catholic, one of them, and the other one was staunch Anglican. And they came out the car and they were, I have never heard those words out of a minister's mouth before. Because my dad used to get road rage and he's there going, you know, calling people everything under the sun on the road. That's who he was, because he's very down to earth. He's very, I guess, very like Bobby in that. He was very down to earth, very... He'd go out, he'd be, you know, he could mix with everybody, but his passion in life, his spirituality was to help people. However, he did have that side where he'd catch road rage because his mouth would, you know, no serious words. It was just like, you know, gestures and things like that. But to someone who's brought up a staunch Catholic and thinking this is, you know, whatever, when his eyes, it would have been a priest. He was like, oh! they loved him to bits. They said, I can't believe he was so cool.
And Bobby's not a priest.
No, he's a pastor. It's just different.
Yeah. I'm not a priest. I'm a pastor. And there is a difference. And people, you know, I got lots of comments saying, you're a priest. No, Bobby's not a priest. He's a pastor. He doesn't have to wear the white cloth. You know, So there is a definite difference. And I've known pastors in my life too who they'll drink a beer, of course. It's not, you know,
it's not forbidden.
They'll use a few cuss words here and there. But Pat, you know, Sean, Bob, it's interesting to have Bobby play have that still inner conflict going on. You know, he's a pastor, but still.
Yeah, he's still got the Cobra Kai ethos.
He wanted to win that All Valley tournament, make no mistake about it. You know?
So, that's still eating away at him all those many years.
He's got that fighting warrior spirit about him too.
fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, have you found that with obviously the martial arts that you have got and the, you know, your life coaching and your personal development training that you do and that you've, you know, you're focused on helping other people. Have you found that as your own kind of spirituality yourself and it strengthens you every throughout that? Or I don't mean religion. I mean, obviously
it's spiritual. I'm more spiritual. I'm definitely not religious, but I am very spiritual. I've studied spirituality extensively, and it bleeds through in my coaching. It's my spirituality is even deeper than my life coaching. Mm-hmm. It goes even deeper. I guess I'm more of a metaphysical, you know, in alignment with metaphysicians and I do study that and it bleeds into, but I don't go gung ho with it on my life mm-hmm. coaching. It's just, you know, when you start getting into those conversations, political conversations or religious conversations and even martial arts, like my God, people study they study karate. Let's just say, I'm just going to say karate. For years and years and years, and they've invested time and blood and sweat and money. Mm-hmm. So of course their style is the best style. It has to be. There can't be a better style. Mm-hmm. That's their belief system, right? And so you get these arguments between judo and karate, taekwondo and karate, jiu-jitsu and karate. Krav Maga has to be the best because it came from, let me tell you people, there's only so many ways you can kick and punch somebody. Their body won't move, you know, beyond a certain amount of tech. There's only so many ways you can throw, choke, do an arm bar. There's only so many ways. So listen, styles and systems at some level that we've got to get rid of that stuff and look at the bigger picture. Yeah. Of what we're trying to accomplish here. The same thing with spirituality. At some point, you've got to get past religious dogma. And just because this is what you've been taught and told, you weren't born with those beliefs. Mm-hmm. So many people should examine what they've been taught and see if it's really true.
Yeah.
And study some other things. So I'm going to go off on a off on a tangent here, but I could. But yes, spirituality is something I've studied extensively. Meditation, I truly do believe there's more to this existence than, you know, I'm knocking on my desk here, than what we can see and feel and touch and taste and hear. And how do I say that? Because I've been taught it? No, because I've experienced it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. And so I could go on and on. That might be a topic for another show.
Yeah, but, I'm fascinated. This fascinates me, to be honest.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me too. I love this topic. But I'm a hypnotherapist. I got into studying the unconscious, subconscious mind, and I went to school for that, mm-hmm. just to learn what athletes were doing using sports hypnosis. Athletes like Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. like high level world class Olympic athletes use some form of self hypnosis, and sports hypnosis to get on top of their game. Neurolinguistic programming, which is what Tony Robbins, his whole background, which does involve an element of hypnotic technique as well. Mm-hmm. I studied that. I'm a master practitioner of NLP, martial artist, I'm a sensei, all of you. you know, and being a sensei, you're by default a life coach.
Yeah.
You know, so all of these things that in my background that sort of merged together to kind of do what I do today in trying to, you know, improve people's lives, motivate people, inspire people to take it to the next level. We should, none of us, my belief, none of us should be the same today as we were yesterday. You know, none of us were, because life is always changing. We should be always evolving with life, because to stay stagnant is to fall behind. Do you want to go backwards? You're not standing still. You're not staying stagnant, because everything else around you is constantly evolving. You're actually falling behind. Mm-hmm. You have to evolve. You have to grow. And it's part of what feeds your spirit in the first place is personal growth, development, evolution, and serving other people. That was a long answer, wasn't it?
It was. It was a good one, though. I mean, I was channeling
Bobby there for a second.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, I did see that on your Instagram. You started with that one the other week, I think it was, where you said none of us are born with opinions and beliefs, and they learnt behaviours, they learnt. And you're right. I fully agree with that. It's absolutely – I mean, I actually started my podcast a few years back, and it was just a little – trying to get – it was really, really – weird thing. I was just helping people. There was a TV show that they all loved, and people were getting really upset about it. So I was just trying to do impressions and stuff, and in little talks. They're only like 5-minute ones, nothing in anywhere near the kind of motivational that. And I kind of used the Bruce Lee, because there's that quote from Bruce Lee which I twist, and I've used it in work ever since when I'm talking about people and how to look at things. And it's that one about where he's, I think it's Enter the Dragon. And he's talking to the student, and he points to the moon, and he goes, it's like a finger pointing to the moon. And he looks at he slaps him. He goes, do not concentrate on the finger or you miss all the heavenly glory. And I put that in the same fact that if you concentrate on those beliefs and those things that you've always had, you're going to miss everything around you, because you need to open yourself up and have a look around and understand from other people's side point of view, and just see, like you said, see what else is around you, and open yourself to it, to learn and develop yourself. That's my basic little way of doing it.
Right. Because what if you're wrong?
Yeah.
Possibly you're wrong, or are you just always right?
Exactly.
And there's so many right fighters out there. They just have to be right. You know, successful people are successful. They let other people help, you know, everyone else be right. But, you know, anyway, it's, I can go on and on.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, I know you've got time. I'll be quite happy to do that. Like I say, this kind of talk fascinates me. I've signed up to wanted to get some of your videos, and I'm going to sign up to more of your courses now, obviously through there, and hopefully.
Yeah, I got to get busy on that stuff. This year has been crazy with COVID, and I tore my quad muscle, had to have it reattached. Still dealing with healing that. And, you know, it's just been a crazy, crazy year. I've got to get back and actually finish up those courses and put them up for people. And now I'm getting lots of people asking me, do I do any seminars online? People want some martial arts training from me, and people want personal development training. And so I might be looking at doing some virtual live conferences, since I can't do any in-person live conferences at the moment. So that might be something that's coming in the near future. I've got to look further into it, you know, now that my leg's getting a little bit better. And
fantastic.
A few other projects that I had to get done. And so anyway,
excellent. I know how that feels with a quad, because I think it was a couple of years ago I was wrestling. I started wrestling at the age of 37, you know, professional, and I fell out the ring. I was training. It was a stupid thing. I where they do the up and over, one ducks, the other one jumps. I tripped, fell through the ropes and head first to the floor, but I tore my quad muscle. And by the time the swelling had got down, it was too late to push anything, and I've now got a dent in my leg because it just retracted in. But it was a good 12 months I was out with that. It was...
Yeah, I had the same thing. I had a retraction, and I didn't even notice it for almost 12 weeks, actually.
Oh, okay.
And then I didn't notice the lump in my leg until I was laying down one day. I looked, you know, anyway, so long story short, yeah, I had the retraction and the attachment, reattachment and the surgery has been brutal. But just that retraction, that ball in my leg wasn't just a deformity, you know, and we're, yeah. But it was also hurting me to do what I do. And so I had to have it go get it fixed. But yeah. Long recovery, man.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, I still, several years on, and I still, my leg will give way now and then because it's just, you know, if I'm walking or jogging or something, and it will just give way. Because I never got it fixed. I really should have done, I guess. But yeah, I think it was one of those things. Never mind. But I know, I was remembering when I saw that when that had happened to you, and I was thinking, I know, I'll feel sorry for you because I know how painful and that is.
When I did it, and the surgery hurt worse. You know,
that's the thing. I didn't feel it at first. It was my wife noticed because I was sitting watching the telly, and she goes, "Yeah," because I'd done both legs, but I'd also hurt my wrist at the time. So I knew I'd had cuts on my legs. But then my wife was looking that night, and she was like, "What's up with your leg?" It like swollen. It just gone, like you said, the lump on the leg had just gone really. And I was like, "Oh."
Yeah,
you know, I knew it was aching. I knew it was sore, but I didn't realize it was like that.
Oh, I did. It hurt. It definitely hurt. But anyway,
I think I was just in too much aching and pain from everything else that I'd done on that day.
Yeah,
it all melded into one. What's your favorite part of the Cobra Kai at the moment that we've seen of the series? For as someone who's watched it yourself,
season 2, episode 6. You know, the bar fight. There was some scenes that we shot that got cut. They didn't make it to that episode.
Yeah.
And there were some of my favorite scenes that I wish they would have gotten. Wish they would have stayed.
That's a shame.
In the show. But they've got a real challenge with how many actors they have and how many storylines they've got going.
Yeah.
It being only a half hour show, I think that probably they overshoot everything and then figure out how to cut it down to a half an hour, you know, every time. And I think unfortunately, some of the things that we shot, one scene in particular I'm thinking about got cut, and I wish it would have made it in. It was very funny. And anyway, that episode.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it was a funny episode. It was good. It was touching, but it was funny as well. So it was
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you can't talk about season 3, which I know. You know, it's a zip. That's what's coming. Would you like, hypothetically, would you like to see Bobby appear some more and obviously develop a bit more in that? I'm saying hypothetically.
Well, hypothetically, yeah, of course. I mean, excuse me. There's a lot of, you know, call for it. I get so many social media messages and posts about Johnny needs Bobby, you know, Johnny's got no friends. And it's true. He's really, you know, he's got no friends left. You know, he needs that positive influence in his life to keep him as he always did, steered in the right direction. And I think that Bobby being a pastor, the show could use that balance and that influence for not just Johnny, but half the dang cast, you know, the characters could use a little pastoring and a little motivating and a little, you know.
Yeah.
But I had, you know, since they said that Bobby's a pastor, I had so many ideas about where he could fit as a regular on the show. And running a church and doing inner city sort of free martial arts training for street kids and inner city kids. And I think that there's so many ways that Bobby could be inserted into the show. And I'm sure that they've thought of things maybe, you know, but that I haven't, but I think, man, if they ever let me into the writer's room and just said, what's your ideas? You know, where do you see
Bob? Yeah.
I got them. I mean, of course, because I'm a creative guy. So when you open that door to me, I've got, you know, but you know, they know where they want to go with it, and I'm kind of powerless over here, except that the fans really have called for Bobby.
Yeah, they have. I see it all over as well. Everyone's calling for Bobby.
Yeah, and Bobby's got an unfinished business. He's got unfinished business with Priest, and, you know, so, yeah.
I think my view would be good if Bobby, you know, see Bobby more, and he could actually breach the gap and breach that between Daniel and Johnny there, and breach that gap, bring those two together against Kreese, you know, that's, you know, and get the revenge. That's how I'd like to. So that'd be really good, because obviously with his, like you say, with the pastor there and the spirituality that he has, he could broach the rivalry between them and join them together, join forces. Right. to get revenge on Kreese. That'd be good.
Lots of people have said that very same thing, and or some variation of it, you know. So
yeah. There's so many fans. That's why it's a great show as well, because it's got the fans talking so much, so many different theories going.
That's the cool thing about the social media, right?
Yeah, it's
the way, you know, the way the producers and everybody sort of interacts with the fans, and you know, you'll never know, coming from those three guys, what I call the Cobra Kai gods, Josh Hill, Hayden Schlossberg, John Hurwitz, you know, because they want to surprise the fans. They want to keep you on edge. They want you always wanting more. So at the same time, they're interacting and engaging, and it's a really cool culture.
It is, yeah. Really, I mean, cool. Yeah, it is, definitely. I mean, I've seen John Hurwitz quite a lot as well, and Josh and everyone, you know, like you say, responding to fans, and if they do with theories and saying, you know, saying how much they love that theory, and it's really, really good, because it keeps people interested and it keeps people pushed in. And,
you know, and I think they probably do take a little bit of fan input into their decision making as well. I think I haven't talked to them about it, but. They're great guys, I tell you that.
excellent.
Cool guys.
Brilliant. I'm going to ask you a signature question as I draw to a close, because I know time's pushing on and how busy you are. So I've got a signature question before I finish. This is completely unrelated to anything Cobra Kai. It's unrelated to anything at all. It's a silly question, but I think from your background, I had a guy work with Jim Henson for 30 years on my show once, and the question was someone asked the question to him through me. And I thought, this is a really good question. So I've pretty much asked everyone since. If you could have a Muppet created after your own personality of you, if you could have a Muppet, you know, of Ron Thomas, what Muppet would it be and why?
A Muppet,
yeah.
It would be the Ronster Monster. Yeah, it would be the Ronster Monster. And he would be a monster of, about everything that I have experienced and learned and come to believe in, and leading a charge. He would be a monster leading a charge of, you know, the Ronster, and of personal development and come on, you know, let's move beyond our limitations here. What you think your limitations are. Let's really live this life to the fullest. Let's get out of the, you know, what we came here to do. We're not here by accident. So we shouldn't put life on the layaway plan. So let's be a monster about, you know, it's kind of a no mercy sort of monster. Let's be a monster about ourselves and give ourselves the respect that if you go back to religion, I'll just use the word God, and it's just a word, you know, that God would want you to do. He put you here. She put you here. It put you here on this planet to live life to the fullest. And to serve, that's how you serve, you know, God, and serve other people as well, and help other people do the same thing. Imagine if we all did that, you know. Yeah. I once said that respect has the power to change the world. Respect has the power to heal the world. And you don't, you know, somebody does not have to earn your respect. That's not earned. It should be given. What's earned is disrespect. And a lot of people have earned my disrespect, you know, and we see them regularly on television. But so respect should be given, you know, but respect should be given to yourself too. A lot of people disrespect themselves in so many ways, you know, so Here I go again on that tangent. But I would be,
no.
Back to the Muppet. Yeah, I'd be the Ronster Monster leading that charge.
Okay, fair enough.
As opposed to the Cookie Monster and whatever.
No, bro, that's a nice deep answer as well. And this fascinates me. That's why I'm late in the character, because I'm absolutely fascinated with that talk. And
yeah,
I'd love to, I will look into more, because I'm always trying to look in and read up on it. Cause you're right. It's just that synchronicity, the whole spirituality of where we are and what's around us. We are much more than we should be, you know. And I obviously people talk about God as well. And I say, God, if you're looking at God, God is every one of us. We are, that is, you know, we've got that in us. I hope I've not just made that blasphemous to people. I don't mean that, that's what we are. We can all be that much better. We've got, our minds are only, a tiny bit of our minds are actually used.
Yeah. And look, what's happening on the planet, what's happening politically here in America and across the world, and with COVID-19 and climate change and so many things affecting us and could potentially, be the end of us, really. We are at a moment in time where you have to step up and evolve and grow in consciousness and in spirituality and in awareness. And so, we're all being called right now. This is a moment in time where we cannot sit back and just be, observers. This is a moment in time where, yes, we need to observe, but we also need to participate. And whether that, and by the way, just going within and meditating, that's participating. That's participating in your own growth and evolution. And when you do that, you'll have the ability to help others do the same thing. So again, I could go on and on and on, but I would not take this moment that we're all living through. It's a global crisis that's really calling for a higher consciousness, higher vibration, higher energy, better, for us to move through it and grow through it, not just go through it, but grow through it and evolve beyond it. Because if we don't take this moment, I'm afraid for my daughter's future. Mm-hmm. No, I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. Moment that calls for warriors. This is not a moment for sissies. This is a moment for warriors.
Yeah.
Step up, people. You have it in you.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. No, I mean, I perfectly agree. It's fully agree. It's
take a stance. That's on my new website. That's my new hashtag. That's my new thing. That's my new call out. Take a stance. But take a stance for yourself, really. Take a stance for what's real. Take a stance against those old limiting beliefs and thought forms and coagulated ways of thinking and believing and moving through the world that are really not serving you, If you're so take a stance against those things. A lot of our enemies, most of our enemies are inside, right? So, let's step in the ring and defeat them, because they've been kicking your ass for a long time. So let's step in the ring and take a stance.
Excellent, so. Excellent. I was going to ask. the stance with the leg. I mean, that was, again, fantastic. Is there anything that you would like to say, just one parting?
You mentioned I've got some personal development programs that I want to put online. Normally, they used to just be in person and conference calls, with groups, eight groups, but follow me on Instagram, The Real Ron Thomas. Follow me on Facebook, Sensei Ron Thomas. Go to my website, senseironthomas.com. If you're interested in anything that I've said, if you want a signed photo, or a personal video message. I'm on Cameo too, but I'm also, you can get those from my website as well on the shop page or the products page, which is not the store. There's two pages which my web developer put up together. It's kind of confusing, products and store. They're different. So, but I'm still developing this stuff. If you're interested in following me and my YouTube channel, Sensei Ron Thomas, if you don't know how to spell sensei, because a lot of people don't, it's S-E-N-S-E-I. Just pay attention, because I will be putting up more, more motivational stuff. develop and stuff, products, services, sign photos at my website. So, you know, just stay in touch. I'm here. Bobby ain't going anywhere. Hashtag Bobby is back. That is not a reference to season 3 or 4 or 5.